in order for the left to be vital, it would have to return to some version of, you know, and this is where the right has much more energy, a popular protest movement. I don't understand why, you know, people loosely allied with the left are kind of the party of, you know, the status quo.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Chris Layman, a journalist who has worked for Mother Jones in These Times, Tycoon, The Washington Post, New York Magazine, and has written for publications ranging from Suck to The Baffler to Reason Magazine. Chris is currently working at Yahoo News and Book Forum, and he's the author of the new book collection, Rich People Things. The columns are reflections on things that
roughly
kind of wealthy, they're about excrescences of wealth.
Right.
You've got a chapter on Ayn Rand as well, which is pretty caustic. What's wrong with Rand and her fans for you?
To me, reading Ayn Rand personally is kind of like taking a bad acid trip.
Right.
That I see this vision of the world where, you know, and at the level of fiction, individual characters, ironically for a writer who so elevates self-interest as the main principle of life, as far as I can make out, many of these characters are disfigured by ideology to the point that they don't act in their own self-interest. And it's this weird paradox. I don't really understand what world I'm being introduced to.
Right.
And all the speechifying makes me crazy.
Right.
All the loving depictions of metal alloys or whatever, you know.
what is it about the people? I mean, because she's a rich people thing in your book.
Right.
What is it that that people are are worshiping about her?
Well, I think it is again this kind of mythic idea of a primordial human order that almost exists in the state of nature before government, where there are individualist geniuses who are misunderstood by the sort of lower rabble who surround them, who are all scheming bureaucrats or intellectuals who are out to smuggle socialism into the world. And it's simultaneously kind of, if this makes sense, like naive and paranoid.
Right. one of the things that I think about Rand, and I'm not particularly a fan of her fiction, although I'm really interested by the fact that she, and I'd say Kerouac is the other writer from that era, who still inspire tons of people, and it's very much about the individual versus the group, and it can be
right.
an uptight society, or it can be a government, or it can be, whatever. But, does that salvage her at all?
I do think there is something there that, both Rand and Kerouac speak to this kind of, you can say it's kind of a warped Emersonian tradition in American letters,
Emerson was himself
pretty damn warped.
You have a chapter in the book about Rand Paul. He's almost certain to become the next senator from Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Will that be such a bad thing for the country, or for you, or for black people?
I don't think so, and I think one returns to these debates over race with a certain weariness, because I do actually think the country has advanced in a certain way. And I sort of say in the book the comments on the Civil Rights Act I thought were illuminating, because they seemed to betray, for whatever reason, as I think I said in the book, Rand Paul seemed to have this vision of Jim Crow as something enacted almost entirely by government institutions,
right.
like a Klan-sponsored version of the Tennessee Valley Authority. Mm-hmm. And obviously the first sit-ins were at Woolworth counters. Private
right.
enterprise was very deeply implicated
right.
in Jim Crow. And it's more that ideology that, the institutions of the private sector are always virtuous, the state is always this vampire-like figure. But I think what's also more interesting about Rand Paul was his comments when Obama, criticized BP at the height of the spill mm-hmm. as, anti-business and therefore anti-American. And that, to me, signaled a much broader kind of shift in political consensus. And it probably is why he will be the next senator, because we do have this kind of fallback belief that to be anti-business is
right.
to violate the sort of sacred right. precepts of our founding.
These are kind of right-wing, for lack of a better term, right-wing rich people things. What do you do with, a rich people thing is something like Michelle Obama's vacation?
No, I have a chapter on the Democratic right. Party. I think institutionally it is a rich people thing. There's been this, and part of the empty shadow play of our politics is you see conservatives laying into this kind of 30s vision of what the Democratic Party may have been at one time.
Right.
This, this, you know, place where unions are all powerful, where, you know, class warfare is always the order of the day. And, you know, you, all you have to do is look at the Obama administration's economic record to know that's not the case. You know, you begin with, you know, three of the major culprits in the meltdown, Larry Summers, Ben Bernanke, Tim Geithner, were all, you know, given positions of maximal power and influence. Right. So, you know, tell me where, if there's class warfare there, it's being waged from on high.
Think about the places you've worked, Mother Jones in these times. You've written for The Baffler. but I mean, is the left, as it's represented by those types of periodicals, is it still vital, even within kind of a liberal political arena?
If it's represented by those periodicals, it's not vital.
Right. So where is the left vital?
I don't think you can accurately say that it is. In order for the left to be vital, it would have to return to some version of, you know, and this is where the right has much more energy, a popular protest movement. You know, I don't understand on many levels why, I mean, I understand intellectually why the Tea Party movement has, you know, galvanized so much support, because it's tapped into this anti-government strain. I don't understand why, you know, people loosely allied with the left are kind of the party of, you know, the status quo.
Is there any sort of meaningful coalition possible between a kind of broadly defined libertarian movement and a broadly defined libertarian?
Yeah, I think so. I think you saw moments of it during, you know, the resistance to the Iraq War. I think there, you know, I think those, you know, the coalition is kind of contingent, probably more because, in ideological terms, libertarianism is probably stronger. It has, you know, it knows what it stands for, it knows what it's against. I'm not sure that, you know, liberals or the left have that kind of...
Well, the liberals and the left are two different beasts, aren't they?
Increasingly less so. I think, you know, one would want a left that serves as a kind of conscience to liberalism, in the same way I imagine that many libertarians think of themselves as the conscience of the conservative movement. You need institutions, you need an ideology that pushes things forward.
That's good. I would like to thank Chris Layman, author of Rich People Things, for talking to Reason TV today. I'm Nick Gillespie.